Okay, we're in Matthew chapter 13. But the sower went out and sowed. But while men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares. Just don't pay to sleep. I think probably at that time we talked about David, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
When kings go out to battle, he was in the wrong place. He didn't go with them. I wanted to point out something here in verse 4. I don't think we talked about or even mentioned. The sower went forth to sow. And then in verse 4 it says, and when he sowed, some fell by the wayside. Seeds there is in italics. It's not in the original. Some fell by the wayside. But that first phrase there, and when he sowed, the Greek reads slightly different and has much more meaning. For it says, I'm going to start with behold a sower, and then I'm going to supply the Greek for and when he sowed. Behold a sower went forth to sow. And in the sowing of him, some fell by the wayside. In the sowing of him. And this is what the Lord's doing. He's sowing himself into our hearts and in our spirits, that he might be resurrected within us. With this thought, let's look at John 12. We'll get back to that other. But John 12 talks about this the sowing of him. Verse 20. And there came certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and he tells Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. There's some Greeks out here want to see you, Lord. In verse 23, and Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bring forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. But this is the seed that the sower sows. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground. And he's that corn of wheat that is sowed in our hearts. It springs forth a mighty harvest. It's the sowing of himself. Amen. That's all I'm going to do with that. Alright. Okay. We're passing the wheat and the tares. We're going down to verse 31. Kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his field. Okay, who wants to explain that one?
It starts off really small.
It's the least of all seeds.
He took it and he sowed it in his field, which is the world, right? The field represents the world, or...
That's one of the other parables says that the field is the world. Yeah. Which world would it be? Another parable he put forth, saying the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. It's the least.
But if it says his field, then it must be...
Yeah, his world.
His world.
The world of his people, those that he is creating, that he's coming forth in them.
Right.
See, because it's like this verse we read over here, verse 4. He's sowing himself into the people that he possesses until they become of him. And it's amazing. It's always the least. He that will be greatest among you
shall
be the servant of all, shall be the least. When it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree. And this tree is the body of Christ, obviously. That is something, mustard seed. What is that mustard seed? That's in Luke 17. 17:3. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, you will turn again, saying, I repent, then you forgive him. And the apostle said, increase our faith. And then in verse 6, the Lord said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine or mulberry tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey you. If you have the faith of the mustard seed, which is the least of all seeds. But the thing about a mustard seed, it's pure mustard. If you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed. Strangely enough, that verse came to me during the night last night. And it's talking about miracle faith here. If you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this, you know, some translations say mulberry, some say sycamine. What's the difference? There's no difference. They're both the same tree. It has two names. You know, you can speak a word and that mulberry tree will be pulled up by a fruit and set out in the sea. So if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can work miracles. But here's the catch. You don't have the faith of a mustard seed. That's the reason the if there, the Lord said, if you had it, but you don't have it, so you can't. So what do you do? That's why we need that seed in us and him sprouting and coming forth, because he's the one that has this. He's the one, he's the mustard seed. You see, he's the one that has the faith. Now you remember, in every one of the parables in this chapter 13 of Matthew, the kingdom of heaven is presented as a mixture. Every time God does something, the enemy comes along to dilute it. Israel came out of Egypt under the hand of Moses, and the outer camp was the mixture of the Egyptians and whoever it was that came with them. It's a mixture. And that's where the battle always came. Marauding bands and stuff would attack, and they would hit the outskirts of the camp. Whenever God does something, the enemy comes in like a flood. My one thought here is we're not going to try to develop a mustard seed faith. We're just going to let him be the mustard seed in it. Let him be the faith. Let him come forth in us. I just got through listening to a tape. John just nailed this thing down and reiterated that you cannot change yourself. He has to change you. He has to be our faith. I've heard so many Christians, one young brother from South Africa, I was listening to him and he kept talking about his faith. I'm sorry, folks, but you just don't have any faith. If there's faith there, you received it from him. Mm-hmm. And it's him.
Yeah.
And it's like Paul said in one of his letters, you know, what do you have that you didn't receive? And if you received it, why do you boast? We have nothing to boast about, because there's none that doeth good, no, not one. All right, Rebecca, Sue, next parable.
33. Mm-hmm. Another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened.
And 34.
All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them.
And 35.
That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world.
Ooh, that's rich. Okay, another parable. Spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid. I'd like to read what that says in the Greek. Well, again, there's two schools of thought. One school of thought is that leaven is like what you put in the flour to make it rise. and it permeates, goes all through it.
Right.
And until the whole thing is leavened. You can take one little bit of leaven and put in the mixture, and it'll work until the whole thing is leavened. So some people say that is the way the kingdom is. God puts a little bit of kingdom in us, and it just permeates until we're all kingdom. Or usually they put it in the sense of out there, the kingdom comes forth in the world. A little bit at a time. Another school of thought is that this woman is the harlot, spiritual Babylon, the harlot, and she's putting these measures of leaven, and leaven everywhere else in the Bible represents something evil, wicked, something bad. You remember the thing that Jesus told his disciples? He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And they thought he was talking about the fact they didn't bring the bread. You remember that? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. In other words, beware of their teachings. They're going to put this leaven in there. What kind of doctrines or teachings is it that would come that would be so deceptive? There's not going to be many people deceived by doctrines that are incorrect. There'll be some people deceived by that. But what people are deceived by mostly is when someone is speaking truths, things that are correct, things that you believe in, things that you would accept, but the spirit in them is the wrong spirit. And by accepting it, you're partaking of the leaven in that word, you see. And then that leaven gets in you and it works until it would consume you, until first thing you know, you've been taken over by the leaven. And here again, just like the birds come and nest in the branches of the mustard tree, so here we find that this woman is putting this leaven in the meal. Now, I tend to go along with that in both cases because every other parable is speaking basically the same thing, that there is a mixture in the kingdom. Even in a natural kingdom, you see the same thing. You have the king, you have the king's family, you have all of the earls and lords and barons and all that stuff. Then you have the working class, the higher up working class, the lower working class, the peons. Then you've got the lower caste of people. Then you've got the robbers and the crooks and the highwaymen and all those things. And all this stuff in a kingdom. And we're going to see in a little while that the kingdom is likened to a net that's thrown out into sea and pulls in fish of all kinds, you see. And then the bad fish are thrown out. Just like the harvest, the harvest is, here it is, got all these tares in the field. The tares are taken out first. The bad fish, the bad tares, don't you worry. This leaven's going to be taken out. Okay. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables. Without a parable spake he not unto them. Without a parable he did not speak unto them. Someone turn to Psalm 78, 1 and 2. I'll take the first four verses anyhow.
Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Open my mouth in a parable, I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength, and his wonderful works that he hath done.
All right, the generation to come, that goes in with Psalm 102, as this is written for the generation to come. And of course, that generation is the one from Genesis 1:27, the creation of man, of a man company. And he said, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter dark sayings of old. The Lord has a way of saying things in such a simple way that unless you're simple, you can't understand what he's saying. And most people think too much of themselves, you see. He's saying dark saying. These are, it's mysteries. It's secret. Dark sayings. There's a scripture In Exodus, where it speaks of God being in the darkness. Now, darkness in that sense is not speaking of something bad or something evil. What it's saying is that which is in darkness you can't see. You understand? So when it says God is in the darkness, that means to the people, he is unseen. You can't see him, can't detect him. But then Jesus tells his disciples, but you are the light of the world. See? And those he is coming forth in, there's lightness in them, and they're not hid by the dark parables and so forth. So I will open my mouth in a parable. Now, I think I've mentioned to you before, because Matthew 5 talks about this same thing, using this phrase, I will open my mouth. You know, that sounds like unnecessary English. Every time you speak, you open your mouth. And what's the point of saying, I will open my mouth and speak? But it's a Jewish idiom, or Hebrew idiom, I should say. It means that when he opens his, it says, I will open my mouth, then something is being spoken that's beyond the ability for the normal man to hear or to understand. And that's the reason Jesus says, if you have ears to hear what I'm saying. See? Because he's opened his mouth. He's turning loose things that are in darkness to most people. Verse 35 again, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. And that comes from Psalm 78, verse 2. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. Now, verse 1 goes for that. Verse 1, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. In verse 36, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. So, we'll get into that next time. Okay, we bless your hearts.